Hello, welcome to What in the World is Dyscalculia? We have another special podcast episode today. I'm Dr. Honora Wall, founder of EduCalc Learning, who is the sponsor of the podcast, and Katie Walker is joining me again. Very excited for
Thank
today's
you.
conversation. Yes, thank you for making more time. And real quick, for people who didn't see our first episode, tell people who you are and how to find you.
Absolutely. Again, I'm Katie Walker. Thanks so much for that intro. I am the CEO and founder of Dyscalculia Tutoring. We provide one-on-one specialized intervention type tutoring for students with dyscalculia and other neurodivergencies that impact math. You can find us online at dyscalculiatutoring.com and on socials, same thing. Super excited to be here talking about dyscalculia and the challenges that students face today.
Yes, I'm excited to have you too. And I think it's great that we're bringing some information from, different states, different backgrounds, and different approaches. And knock on wood, we both had great success working with students with dyscalculia. So if you're listening and you are a person with, parent of, or teacher of, I think we've got some good information for you today. And I wanted us to focus today on top four challenges that we see for students with dyscalculia in that K-8 arena. So really looking at early education and elementary education, little touch into the middle school, but mostly looking at those early indicators. And let's start with you, Katie. What would you say is one of the first challenges you see for this group of students?
Absolutely. I think the first challenge that I really see is finding and locating the right kind of help. I always say to families, students with dyscalculia and learning challenges such as this don't need more, they need different. And so often schools are giving them more time or more exposure or doing it again or slowly, but that's not actually enough or appropriate. And so I think it's especially because not as many people know about dyscalculia, it can be really challenging to one, get a diagnosis and realize what's going on. And then it's not just your kid has trouble with math, right? But to actually find the right help. And so many students, for example, don't even find us until kind of late in the game, like the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, like realm. They're trying to take algebra and they still don't know their numbers. They don't have good number sense and number fact arithmetic because they didn't get the right kind of support all along. And so now we're trying to backfill so that they can be able to take an algebra course. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Dr. Wall? Do you see students also struggling to find the right help?
Absolutely. And you bring up so many good points. And there is some research. I'll have to get the actual article and I'll put it on the website and share it with you so I'm not misquoting. But there's research that shows the repetition of the same worksheet, same approach, same instruction does not help students with dyscalculia. It just doesn't. It can be an effective intervention for students who have low numeracy or a weak foundation or ELL students who need a little more support. And that could be one of those separators that can act as an indicator. If you're trying it and it's not working, we have a different issue and we want to look at something else. But the problem for a lot of families and for educators is, well, what is the help? And that can be hard to know. And you and I both have tons of information on our websites and we talked about it in our social media and other podcasts. So if you want to know what is the right help, I'm going to tell you to go check both of our stuff out because we have a few other challenges we want to talk about today. But if you're trying things and they're not working, boom, you probably are looking at dyscalculia. Take another look.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you see as the next challenge after or even if they've gotten the right help?
The next challenge is very personal to me. It hurts my heart because the second challenge that I think is so common is the internal effects, those mental effects, the trauma that happens over time. And make no mistake, for people with dyscalculia, it is trauma. When I work with older students or with adults, we have to address that trauma piece and go through it. It is valid, it is real, and it has to be addressed. And it starts in these early grades. It's sad to me how many people hear their early education or elementary school teachers say some really horrible things to them, or put them in a situation where they know they're the only kid who isn't getting it. They know they're the only kid who never gets to color because they finished math. They know they don't get to join in anything that's enriching or fun, or even feel like this is a group they belong in. And that piece of math identity is something that's really trending in education. Here's math identity. And when we refuse to allow students to identify themselves as mathematical thinkers and natural mathematicians, and we make them feel badly about it, it really creates some mental health issues that continue for years. I don't know if
Yeah,
you've seen that.
I do. I see the same thing. Families, when they come talk to me, have actually seen it spread. Like it started as kind of just about math. And then many times it kind of bleeds over into other areas of school where the student might start having school avoidance or generalized self-esteem and self-confidence challenges. It affects the entire families. We talk about a lot with families about the dynamic and how so much attention can be ending up focusing on one child because of their math challenges and all of the how that kind of like bleeds out into everything else. And so I see this cycle of failure and sense of self spiraling, and where that really has to be addressed kind of head on and first before you can really do the work once by the time they get to me, because so much damage has been done in those early grades. So I hear that 100%. Yeah.
I agree. So if you have any interest in SEL, social emotional learning, mental health, this is an area where we need you for sure. What's another challenge that you see a lot? Because you've been doing this a long time. You work with a lot of families.
Yeah, one thing that we frequently see is that the school system won't or doesn't know how to help. And many families I see ending up having to change their schooling context. Some families leave public school and go to an independent school. Some families homeschool, because there's just that it's kind of connecting back to that the right help, but just the frustration. And as a former public school teacher for over 16 years, I understand the school system's challenges and kind of like, but each kid deserves what they deserve. They deserve a free and appropriate public education. Absolutely, that is the law in this country, whether you choose to participate in that or not. But I think part of it comes down to, and this is where I appreciate the work that Dr. Wall is doing. Many schools don't know what to do. There's like a, they have to know what to do and they have to have the resources to be able to do it. And so that's something that I see is really challenging, and families getting frustrated fighting for their child to just get what they deserve, which is a free and appropriate public education in the least restrictive environment. That is the foundation of public education in this country. So, like I said, we see a lot of families turn to alternative schooling contexts from public education for those reasons. And again, I'm not judging or placing a value judgment on any of those. I think what hurts my heart is to see a family have to choose to switch from the context they initially chose to a different context because the school system, whatever it is, isn't working to support their child in the way that they should be. And so I think it's definitely tricky. And then I don't know if you've run into this. Another thing then, when families are homeschooling, then neurodivergence tends to run in families. And so then often the family members that are home trying to homeschool their child actually have significant learning challenges themselves or don't know how to help their child with math. And so then some of them do come outsource math to professionals like ourselves. I know Dr. Wall works with a lot of homeschool families as well, there are other people out there who do the outsourced kind of homeschooling math, but it's really heartbreaking to me because Even though I left the public education system, we could have a whole podcast episode about that.
Make a note on that one.
But I feel deeply that that is the right of every child in this country to have a free, appropriate public education in the least restrictive environment. And the fact that families don't feel like they can't get that is what is heartbreaking to me. And then I also feel for the school systems that they don't even know what to do. And it can be really frustrating. What have you
Absolutely.
seen with that?
I completely agree with that. And there are a number of reasons why a family might decide to homeschool. And homeschool or private school or independent school, that should be a choice. The real problem we run into is when a family feels they have no other choice
Yeah.
so that they can protect their child's mental health or protect their ability to access education. And I'm a huge, huge supporter of public education. I taught in public schools myself, and I think that's the foundation of our democracy, is to have solid, well-funded, well-attended public schools. And our schools work so hard, and our fellow educators are burnt out and doing an incredible amount of work and need the resources. They need some assistance. The good news, if you're in that situation, is that helping people who are neurodivergent, especially with dyscalculia, is so easy. It's really simple. It feels like it's going to be a big deal. And there's all of these new types of neurodivergent names you're supposed to know. One method will help pretty much everyone in your class. Two to three accommodations or interventions are going to transform the classroom without putting more work on you. So I would love to get that message out to educators and to schools
Yeah.
as a way to fix this problem. But I also know of many families who had to homeschool because it was just too traumatic, or they just
Yeah.
couldn't get what they needed at public, private, or independent school. So it's
Yeah.
still something that we need to fix. I think that's a very big challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. What else? What would you say is the fourth to round out our top four challenges that you see?
Rounding out our top four in that K to eight experience, those younger grades and kind of wrapping up elementary, getting ready for a higher level math. I see that we put in so many barriers that only exist in those earlier grades. So time, money, place value, total train wrecks. We really don't talk about that in algebra, geometry, calculus, trig, statistics. It's not what we're doing anymore. And the things like multiplying four digits by three digits, borrowing and everything is a zero and there's just a one at the end. And we're not doing that. But we've put in all of these things in those earlier grades, and they give the impression that a student can never do that higher level math. And we've got all of these barriers that put them in a box. And we're keeping a lot of people out of STEM courses that they could be very successful in and would naturally enjoy. But the barriers come in the beginning. I don't know if you've
Yeah.
seen that too.
Yeah, I see something very like related to that, and that because a lot of families will come to us looking for support with those skills that you're talking about. And as a I've taught fifth grade in the classroom. I've taught fifth grade, eighth grade, and then all of high school. And so I used to teach calculus, and I'm like, we don't we arith there's so much more to math than arithmetic, but I feel like at that elementary age, those like upper middle elementary grades, like that fourth, fifth, sixth grade, there's just so much pressure put on mastering all of the standard algorithms for so addition, subtraction, multiplication, division for fractions, decimals, and whole numbers, right? Like that. It feels like the weight of the world is on those topics. And
Half
I
the
want to just be
audience just
like,
started crying.
there's so much, right? There's so much more to math than arithmetic. And that's something that I talk with families a lot about. They're like, but I want my child to master their multiplication facts. And I sometimes will ask them why. And I offer a course on multiplication facts. And even with that, I still want to say, well, why? Is that really necessary? Like, what is it that's your goal? Because that's going to shape our process. Like, and do we really have to, like you were saying, with some of those question types, even just like, try to intentionally make it harder. I'm going to get a calculator out if I have that kind of four digit by three digit multiplication problem. Like, yes, I can physically do it by hand. Am I going to? Absolutely not. Right. And Even like somebody might go, oh, well, but AP calculus, I've taught it. Yes, there is a no calculator section, but they also know that they're not testing arithmetic. That's not
Right.
the goal of the
No.
pro. And so if the problem is going to require heavy arithmetic load, it's going to go on the calculator section, not on the
So
non-calculator
true.
section. So even with that like long lens, right, of looking all the way out to an AP calculus class, which is probably making some people get armpit sweats right now just
I
thinking
know.
about, it's just not true. And I think that that's something that the like microcosm of upper elementary gets like kind of blinders on and thinks that that's like the be all end all of what mathematics is. And I think that does a disservice to our learners who are never going to master their multiplication facts. And that is 100% fine.
Exactly.
They're going to be able to use tools and strategies to get to where they need to get to, and be totally fine. And I think that that is, it's just a false arbitrary barrier, I think is the right word, that we've put up
Yeah.
to that higher level math and saying, oh, well, you can't go on to Algebra 1 because you haven't mastered arithmetic.
I
False.
agree. I think this last one is the easiest challenge to take off the plate. And I think a lot of ed elementary education math teachers got into it because they really enjoyed math. So they're the one person in the school who's teaching almost all the math classes because everybody else got into elementary ed, so they don't have to teach too much math. And that's just a reality of
It's a
educators.
challenge. It's a real
Yeah.
challenge.
But we can
Yeah.
fix this one pretty easily by putting in those supports and by understanding that, yeah, you can prepare students for higher level math, and it doesn't always have to mean that mental math trick. And an analogy I like to use with people that I thought of while you were talking is, I have no idea how to grow wheat. I'm pretty sure I could not recognize wheat if I ran into a field of it, and I live in the Midwest. I have no clue how something comes out of the ground and becomes my lunch, but I eat sandwiches anytime I want to. I don't have to actually be the person who grows the wheat, turns it into flour, makes it into a loaf of bread before I'm allowed to have a sandwich. And for a lot of students with dyscalculia, giving them the right accommodations and support is that same thing. We're taking out that farming piece and the turning it into something you can make bread out of piece. And we're just skipping to lunch and allowing students to eat. And at that point, once you've had lunch and you're full, then yeah, you're happy to go out to the field and go, my gosh, that's how that happens. That's amazing. This is so interesting. So I think we can get students involved in different conversations once we've removed some of those barriers too.
Yeah, and I think I mean I put a little bit on the even the upper level math teachers as like coming from that high school level. We have this notion that like this false sense that it's linear. Like you have to have mastered
Oh, yeah.
A through G to do H. Like no, it's actually not true. Also false. That like it's not linear. And I think that there's like this sense that like again, the kid can't learn algebra if they don't know their arithmetic. And it's like, it's actually not true with the right accommodations and the right supports and the right kind of way of talking about it. Are there different things that ways that we're going to have to approach math because they maybe don't have some of those foundational skills with automaticity that maybe you might expect in a student doing that? Okay, but that doesn't mean that they can't learn it. And I think that there's that mindset piece of like this false sense of I have to have mastered everything but that came before in order to access this, because math does build, right? There is that sense that like math builds on itself, but it's also not totally true.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I love that. I think that we need to do another one of these where we look just at that upper level piece. So if you're listening today and you're interested in this, make sure you find it, and we'll talk more about that too. So four challenges that are very common for students with dyscalculia and early elementary and elementary to middle school grades. Finding the right help, really difficult to know where to look and whether or not it's right, but there are some really great experts out there. Yourself, myself, Katie Lord, Katie Lewis, Anneke Schroeder. There's some really good people in this field. You could talk to TouchMath. They are very involved in getting the right information out for people. So the help is there. do some good Googling, do some good searching, and we will all make sure that we're getting you to the right place. Pay attention to the mental effects and that trauma piece that is being instilled. Watch out for the mental health of your students and your children, because it's no joke, and it's a big part of dyscalculia. Finding a system that's going to work for you. This is in its infancy. I'm not going to sugarcoat that one. That is still tough for a lot of people. But the easy one to fix is taking some of those barriers that exist in elementary education and moving them out of the way, accommodating so that we can get students into upper level math. But to wrap us up, Katie, one more time, how can people find you if they have more questions for you?
Great, thank you. Again, I'm the CEO and founder of dyscalculiatutoring.com. So you can find us there. And then we're also on Instagram and Facebook, same, Dyscalculia Tutoring. And we have monthly workshops. There's a blog on our website. We have one-on-one tutoring. And yeah, we'd love to, if you're in need of support, to feel free to reach out, send us an email, and we'd be happy to connect and get you some of that right help if we're the right fit for you in your setup.
Fantastic. And if you're listening and you have any questions for me, you can find me at educonclearning.com or at thedtri.org. And happy to get any answers to your questions that I possibly can. If you're an educator looking for some training, I've got plenty of options for you. And if you are a homeschooler or a school looking for some online math classes, I've got that and an excellent partnership with Katie in that arena as well. So, however we can help, that is really our passion. And thank you for listening to What in the World is Dyscalculia? And we will see you again next time.